There's not anybody here or in the sound of my voice that has not gone through pain, failure. Come on, adjust your halo right now. I'm talking every one of us. Pain, failure, misunderstanding, brokenness, hurt, disconnections. Jesus has come into the world, not just so we can have, you know, beautiful decorations. And I love the decorations. Don't you love the decorations? I love all of them. But what the greatest of all trees was the tree called the cross of Calvary that Jesus hung on and shed his blood to make all of your wrongs right. He doesn't take your mess up and say, oh, that was good. But he turns it around when we allow him to. When we come to him and he begins to form all things into something good. How many of you just want him to take all that stuff and make something good out of it in your life? I'm going to tell you something. Amen. Come on, give him a praise one more time this morning. Because that's what he does. Lord, I thank you today for the power of your Holy Spirit residing right now in this place to do what only you do. Lord, we commit our lives, our will, our nature, our past, our present, and our future into the hand of our Almighty Savior. And I praise you for what you're going to do. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Come on, and everybody said one more big amen. Amen. Well, I love that song, too. I'd change a few words in it. Please have no snow for Christmas, but have presents. You know, maybe I'd change that to Starbucks, Dunkin' Donuts, gift cards under the tree. I'm all for that. Just a couple reminders. Last Thursday was just an incredible Thursday night with all the talent that is in the house singing, from the youngest to the oldest. It was amazing. This Thursday, the theme, and we're just going to imprint this Christmas heart in everybody over this month. This Thursday, one of the most creative minds and communicators that I know, Miss Reverend Pastor Aaron Martin, will be speaking along with Divine Dance here. So it will be an incredible Thursday night. Yeah. And then on December 16th, Carrie Cardinelli Shop will be here along with Carlton Wilcox. These two are two of the greatest voices that you will hear this Christmas season. That is on December 16th. And December 16th is also my wedding anniversary. Yeah, happy anniversary. I gotta come up with something good. Amen. Thank you. And then on the next Thursday, on December 23rd, we're going to have Christmas dinner together in the Generation Center. That will be great. 24th, Christmas Eve service, 6 o'clock here, 8 o'clock at St. Anthony's. And it's going to be an incredible month together. This thought that God dropped in my heart, to be whole, I'll be whole for Christmas, means so much. The meaning of being whole, and I love this definition, is an immediate experience of being carried and embraced by God, supported by the loving care and affection of others, and living in peace and full of joy. Webster says it this way, to be free of wound or injury, recovered from a wound or injury, restored mentally, emotionally sound. And the Greek word for whole is sozo, and it means to be safe, to be kept safe and sound, to be rescued from danger or destruction, to be restored to health, to preserve one who is in danger of destruction, to save and to rescue. Wow, that's so powerful. In Psalm 73:26, the psalmist writes, my flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart. He's my portion forever. And I just want you to know, I feel the power of God's Holy Spirit so strong right now in this house that if you'll reach out by faith today, nothing that a human could ever speak, but the anointing of God's power and His presence will reach into your heart. He'll heal your sickness, your disease. He'll bind up your broken heart. He'll remove that depression that the enemy would try to cover over your life. He'll extract things out of you that are hurting you. He'll illuminate individuals and circumstances to you in the next few minutes that you need to remove yourself from and to walk into some wholeness in your old life. If you'll receive that today, He'll do that right in these next few moments. And I want to share just a couple of scriptures with you this morning about wholeness, because wholeness has a connotation to it that maybe you don't understand. Luke 17:11, this is one story, and it came to pass as He went to Jerusalem. And I'm reading out of the King James Version, and I seldom teach out of that, just because the wording is maybe a little difficult for some people to connect with. And sometimes in the King James Version, now I know this is going to throw some of you off, he is inaccurate in some of his definition of the original Greek language. And we could talk about that, and maybe I will at some time. But in other circumstances, he is more accurate in his definition. Now, I'll tell you, but I wanted to tell you why I'm reading out of the King James Version. It came to pass, as He went to Jerusalem, that He passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee, and He returned into a certain village. There met Him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices, and they said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when He saw them, He said to them, "Go show yourselves unto the priests." And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he turned back, and with a loud voice, he glorified God. And he fell down on his face at His feet, giving Him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that returned to give glory to God, only this one stranger," save this one stranger. And he said to the one, the one that returned, the one that came back, he said, "Arise, go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole." We read in Mark chapter 5, the woman with the issue of blood, she said, "If I could only touch His clothes, the hem of His garment, I would be whole." And Jesus said in verse 34, after she did that, He said, "Thy faith has made you whole." And then this last portion of Scripture in Mark chapter 10, the Bible says, "And they came to Jericho, and as He went out of Jericho with His disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me.' And many charged him that he should be quiet, hold his peace. But he cried the more, a great deal, 'Thou Son of David, have mercy on me.' And Jesus stood and commanded him to be called." He said, "Wait, come here." "And they called the blind man, saying unto him, 'Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee.' And he, casting away his garment, he rose and he came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, 'What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?' And the blind man said unto him, 'Lord, that I may receive my sight.' And Jesus said, 'Go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole.'" There is so much in this. And then he says, "And immediately he received his sight, and he followed Jesus. Thy faith has made thee whole." Why, many versions say, "Thy faith has made thee well." King James appropriately uses the phrase "whole," because the phrase "well" means that he was healed of the disease, the leper. The woman with the issue of blood was healed of the flow of blood. And blind Bartimaeus was healed of his blindness. But the word "whole" goes to a different level. It not only in the leper's case, stops the leprosy, and in the woman's case, stops the blood, and in blind Bartimaeus' case, stops him from not seeing. It makes their lives completely whole. It carries with it the connotation of not just being healed of something, but being completely restored back to the way it used to be. This is so important, because when you and I, we can ask God to heal us or to get us out of a situation. And I know many people that God has helped them out of a situation. They've gone through a particular season in their life and they've come through it, but they still have not made whole, because the remnants of whatever it was in them still goes with them. And the heart of Jesus is not just to make you well today, but it's to make you whole for the rest of your life. It's to restore you back to the way you were called and created to be. And as we celebrate the season, it would be so tragic that we go into it and just go through the motions and do everything and carry this burden of being disconnected and being hurt and being broken in our lives. Listen, I grew up with that. I grew up in a home where my dad was this raging alcoholic, and the loss of two children. And I used to watch my mom every season. That's why, I carry this with me all the time. I carry with me every time I meet somebody. Somebody has a story. Somebody has something that is waiting on them that has happened in their life, and they're carrying it into the season. Maybe it's because a loved one that they were with the last season isn't with them now, or even 10 or 20 years ago, that still has a pressure, has an effect on who they are in this season. And listen to me, God doesn't just want you to forget about that person or forget about what took place, but He wants to make you whole. He wants to help you to be restored into a place where, yes, we can't make and we can't maybe bring that person back or eliminate what took place in our past. But God can do such a work in our lives that when it comes to our memory, instead of it bringing a tear to our eyes, it brings a smile on our face and into our spirit. And we can rise up and we can walk in the strength and in the power of God and not let the forces of hell intimidate us or hold us back or hold us down anymore. We can walk in newness of life today. Come on, are you listening to me? How do we do that? And I'm going to tell you something. I've known God. He's been faithful to me. He has been good to me. He's been good to our family. I'm so thankful for how good He has been to us. It doesn't mean that everything has been perfect. Everything, you know, every story in our family is unscathed. We have gone and faced some difficulty, but I stand here today at the age of 66 years old and say, He has been good to me. He has been good to me. How can I have this wholeness? How can I do this? Well, first of all, and we've heard it, you have to live by faith. And everything that we read, the Bible says, thy faith has made you whole. It's not the season. It's not other people. It's not faith in yourself or what you can do for you. It's faith in God. It's faith in Christ alone. Hebrews 11:6 says that without faith it's impossible to please God. For he who cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence. I don't see it yet, but I know it's coming. Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Some of you, your faith is being increased right as we sit here this morning, because His word is coming into your heart and into your life. Aaron said it earlier, that if you have a mustard seed of faith, it will move you further and beyond anything that you could ever imagine experiencing in your life. Second, stop looking for wholeness in the wrong places. Quit thinking if you get this man or you get this woman or you have this romance encounter or you connect with some type of an addiction, a bottle, something out of a package, that it's going to make you whole, and it will not. Jesus will make you whole. Paul said, but he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in my weakness. And in the moment that you feel the weakest, Jesus said, I'm going to come and show you something that's going to blow your mind. It's going to change who you are. Third, God alone has the power to complete you as a person and to make you whole. Psalm 73:26, I read it again. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my life. He is our portion. He is a part of you and I being whole. We are not complete in our lives without Him. He not only gives you and I the strength to live, but to live out our lives in a manner that makes us whole. You see, when He changes you, when He comes into your heart, into your life, He begins to mold you and make you. You begin to do things that you've never done, and you begin to stop things that you always have done. And as you begin to walk in that path, and you begin to embrace that plan that God has for your life, things begin to change. The outcomes begin to change. Your relationships. I don't hang out with the same guys that I used to hang out when I was younger. I don't go out on the weekends and drink with the same guys that I always used to. In fact, I don't go out on the weekends and drink with anybody anymore. I thought when I was saying that, I better clarify that. Just shifted people. No. I don't do those things because God has changed my view of life through prayer, through the Word of God, being a living sacrifice. Romans 12:1 says, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercies, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. I've heard people all my life say, well, I'll die for Jesus. But the reality is, how many will live for Jesus? Because your body, your life must be not a dead sacrifice, a living sacrifice. Because the sacrifice means I'm going to do some things that go against my nature, my old man nature, that I want to do. I want to do that. Everything in me is drawing me to that. But my life for Christ says, don't do that. Lay your life down and be a living sacrifice so that He can make you and mold you. And I'm preaching better than your amen in me right now. He will change your life when you let Him. Number four, you have to release unrealistic expectations for others to meet needs that only God can meet in your life. John 15:11, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. You can't find joy from other people. You can't find joy from other things. You find it when you step into that place with Him, that your joy may be complete. Number five, trust God alone for healing and the fulfillment that you are seeking. Psalm 107:20 says, He sent His word and He healed them. I believe that this morning. I believe that with all of my heart, that as His word comes, and for some of you that just by faith you believe it, you say, I'm going to accept that. He will touch you. He will heal your life in a moment. Like that, right where you're at. Number six, believe that it is possible to be whole this Christmas. Instead of you going into that same mode every year, some of you, you get miserable. Listen, I've been there. Miserable. I got to do this. I got to go here. I got to cook this. I got to put this up. I got to do that. And you're missing the freedom that Jesus has come to give you and I. That He's come to forgive you and to cleanse you and to help you to make the healthy choices that you and I need to make. 1 Peter 5:7 cast all your anxiety, all your cares, your fears on Him because He cares for you. Give it to Him. Quit carrying that around. Quit carrying that doubt. Quit carrying that hurt. Quit carrying that old image of something that happened to you that flares up over every holiday or any moment in time where you remember things like that. Cast it onto Him. And then lastly, stop living your life to please others, but seek to please God by discovering and fulfilling His purposes for your life. No matter what others think. Psalm 94:19, my anxiety was great within me. Your consolation brought joy to my soul. Oh, I love that. He brings comfort in moments that we are full of anxiety. Listen, living a life to please anybody other than God will tie you and I up in knots. Listen to me. I please the ones I love most when I live to please God. Do you want me to say that again? I please the ones I love the most when I live to please God. Ooh, I think I'll say that one more time. I please the ones I love the most when I live to please God. Because when I am whole, I am at my best. I am best for the ones that I love. You remember that little story about blind Bartimaeus? That is, he heard Jesus coming and he began to call out to Him, "Son of David, have mercy on me." That there were people that were around him saying, "Be quiet." The King James says, "Hold your peace. Stop. Shut your mouth. You're who you are. Stay over there." And the Bible says that something incredible happened. And I hope that there comes a time in your life when you can turn off all of the outside rejecting voices and noise. You turn it all off. You turn off those who say to you, "You can't do that. You're not able to do that. You're not old enough. You're too old." When I was younger, I would have people tell me all the time, "You're too young to do that. You can't do that." Now I don't have many. Couple, they say, "You're too old to do that." Well, what is the right age? The right age is right now. The right time is right now. Stop listening to the people that say you're not able, you can't do that, and giving you every reason why you can't. And every day, blind Bartimaeus, he would get up and he would put on that coat, that cloak, the King James calls it, that would define who he was. And he would go out and he would beg every day. And some of us, sometimes we get up every day. Listen to me. Some of you that need to listen to this the most right now are not paying attention. Some of you, sometimes we get up and we do the same thing over and over and over because it's become such a part of who we are. And then when Jesus is coming, we don't think any different. But that's not what happened to blind Bartimaeus on that day. And I believe for somebody it's going to happen to them this day or maybe this week, because Jesus wants to make you whole for Christmas. The Bible says that at that moment that Jesus began to call out to him. And again, this coat was unique. It was given to signify that he was a beggar. He couldn't work. He had nothing to offer. He had no purpose. And it declared to everybody who he was, or should I say, who he wasn't. And at that moment, the Bible says in verse 49 that Jesus stood still and commanded him, "Come here." Woo! Do you know why? When we call out to him, when we return to him, when we go to him, that Jesus is sensitized to that, and he stops still, and he says, "Come on, I'm going to set you free. I'm going to make you whole. I'm going to redeem your life. I'm going to take the messes and the brokenness and the pieces of your past, and I'm going to put them together and do something great for you." And you won't even understand what is happening. And at that moment, Bartimaeus heard nothing else. And he took that coat off. That coat that defined him. That coat that everybody knew. If they didn't know who he was, all they had to see is the coat. Because when he wore it, they identified what he was. And I believe for some of you, just like Bartimaeus did that day, he took that, he got up, he didn't even begin to walk to Jesus. He took off that old defining garment that told everybody who he was or who he wasn't. And as he began to walk closer to Jesus, power began to come into his life. He began to let go of what he was to become who he was meant to be. What defines you today? What do you need to throw off today? What do you need to leave at the cross today? Ryan said it earlier, you got to return to him. You see, in every story I told here, the leper, the Bible says, he came back to Jesus. The woman with the issue of blood, she reached out to Jesus. Blind Bartimaeus threw off his cloak and he went towards Jesus. And because of that, each one was made whole. Praise his name. And you and I can be whole at Christmas. You don't have to let all the fears, all the stuff. You can do what Pastor Aaron said. Why wait until December 31st? Everybody puts the big emphasis on, I'm going to make all these New Year's resolutions. I'm going to do this. I'm going to start that. Why not start right now? Why not do it today? Why not reach out to him right now? Why not repent? Why not come to him today? Right now. Close your eyes and bow your head with me. This is a moment, I believe, that for some of you, you're not going to listen to the noise and the old record or the old tape playing in your mind saying, I can't do that. That's not me. That'll never work for me. But some of you, you're going to stand up and hear and embrace that God is calling you right now. Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Woo! His power is here. Keep your eyes closed in the house here. Those of you that are watching online, God has a plan for you as well. To do something incredible and great in your life, right where you're at. I pray for those who are watching online today. Spirit of the living God, move in their lives. Have your way in their heart and in their life, I pray. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. We're going to say goodbye to you that are watching online at home. I love you. I thank God for you. We look forward to seeing you soon. For those of you that are here today, God is reaching out to you. You're here on purpose today. Pastor Ryan, come on up. You're going to lead us in that beautiful song again.